We're here in a worldly baseball game, so I got to tell you, if you love the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in you. 1 John 2:15. And we preach it all the time. James 4:4 says, if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy, an enmity against God. That means you're an enemy of God. So Christ came into the world to seek and save that which is lost, he said. Well, you're lost without Christ, whether you're Roman Catholic, Lutheran, Baptist, Mormon, Jehovah's Witness, whatever man-made flavor. You're lost without following Jesus Christ in spirit and truth. But if you follow the culture, like their entertainment, their sports, their politics, the false gospel in the American church system, if you follow all of that, you're living for the flesh. And Jesus did not come to save those who live for the flesh. Jesus said he came for those who will live by the Spirit and walk according to the Spirit. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus who walk according to the Spirit, not the flesh. So ask yourself, is the worldly offerings of baseball, is it fleshly? Oh, yeah. Are the church systems with all of their church programs fleshly? Oh, yeah. Is the culture with its pride and vanity in its dress, is it fleshly? Oh, yeah. Is it an enemy of God? Absolutely. You're an enemy of God as you live like the world. Jesus said in John 10, my sheep hear my voice, and they come out of the world. They follow me. They're not like the world. If you like lagers baseball, if you like the culture, if you like the politics, the sports, the entertainment, the watered-down corrupt church systems, you have not the Spirit or the truth of God. And on Judgment Day, he's coming to separate sheep from the goats. And so as you follow the world, you're a goat. Even if you attend Sunday church, you're a goat, a false convert. A true convert follows Jesus and reads the scriptures and sees how worldly and carnal and corrupt this is. A true disciple of Jesus compares their life and all their ways, how they act, talk, live, dress, spend their money, spend their time. How do you do all of that? Do you do it according to the scriptures? Or do you do it according to your flesh? And what pleases you and what pleases the culture. See, here's the deal. Jesus is coming in flaming fire to destroy all those that don't know God and don't obey the gospel. That's 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9. You're going to be destroyed by the brightness of his coming because you're not one of his. You're not going to receive a crown of righteousness because you're not one of his. He's going to burn up all the world systems, whether it's sports, politics, entertainment, all the false Sunday church systems. He's going to burn it all up. And Jesus said, a puny few will find eternal life. Test yourself, neighbor, open the Holy Scriptures. See that which is good, pure, and true. So look around you. America is the fruit of 250 years of denominational Christianity. It's corrupt. America's perverted. It's materialized. It's paganized. It's sodomized. It's feminized, and it's false on every level. And it's not God bless America. I got to tell you, Americans, I know you're going to sing the national anthem in here. It's not God bless America. God is going to judge America. And the judgment has already started. The judgment has already started. Men don't know their men. Women don't know their women. Children are leading this country by many ways. Women and feminization is leading the country. Weak, liberal, carnal, demonic men are leading the country. The judgment's already started, neighbor. So you got to ask yourself, if you were on the Titanic when it was going down, America's going down, Are you going to hold on to the mast of the ship while it goes down and you drowned? Or are you going to get off the ship and flee to save your own soul? That's what this comes down to. America's the Titanic. She's sinking. God's judgment is already here. His wrath is coming for America and the world. So we just lovingly travel the country. We don't want your money. We have our own money. And we tell people for free that you have to repent, neighbor. You have to turn from every false way and every sin. You might say to yourself, well, come on, baseball. Well, let's see, it's covetous to win over your neighbor. There's one sin. It's prideful. There's two sins. Proverbs 6:17, God said, I hate a proud look. Do you see these guys dressed in their baseball uniforms? They look like peacocks. Proud look. How many sins did it take for Adam and Eve to get put out of the garden, neighbors? How many sins? One. How many sins did it take for God to kill two Levitical priests in Leviticus 10? One. They brought strange fire. How many sins did it take for Ananias and Sapphira, a husband and wife in Acts 5, after Jesus came and rose again? How many sins did it take for them to be killed by God's Holy Spirit? One. So we'll throw another one in there. The rich man comes to Jesus and says, how do I inherit eternal life? Jesus says, keep the law. He says, I've kept the law. Jesus didn't argue. Jesus said, one thing you lack. It says in Mark 10 that Jesus loved him and he rebuked him and told him, one thing you lack. So a rebuke is loving. Remember that. If you hear my preaching and it sounds like a rebuke, that's actually loving to rebuke you and warn you. He said, one thing you lack, and that rich man had to sell his thing because he loved money more than God. He had to sell his stuff because he loved money more than God, and he couldn't do it. And he went away sad and lost his soul, probably. And so what one sin is going to keep you out of the kingdom? Sir, you can't pay your own way. Jesus made the narrow way. A man just said he paid his own dues. That's works-based salvation. That's not going to get you anywhere. You can't work your way to heaven, but guess what? If you know him, you better be working for him and living for the kingdom in holiness and righteousness. Otherwise, it's fruit that you don't even know him. So it's loving to come and tell you the truth. Look around when that stadium is full. Look around you, and very few of you are going to enter the kingdom of God. Most of you are going to be sent away into weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's what the Bible says. Matthew 7, Jesus said, few there be that find it. That word few means a puny number of people. That word in Greek means puny number of people to find eternal life. You don't just get there believing in Jesus. You don't just get there doing your Sunday ritual, Roman Catholic, Baptist, Lutheran, whatever false man-made religion. Unless you lose your life completely in Matthew 10. I don't take anyone's money, sir. I've labored my whole life and I pay my own way. I'm not a modern hireling. Try again. Try again. I don't take money. I don't want your money. Keep it. I got my own money. Hirelings sell the things of God. I don't. I'm a street preacher of righteousness. No one owns me but my master, Jesus Christ. So I don't have to worry about saying something to upset you so I don't get the offering plate filled like the Baptist and the priest and all the other corrupt man-made denominations. I can freely, Brother Paul said this. He said, I have not hindered from preaching the whole counsel of God's word to you. So I can preach the whole counsel of God's word to you and warn you that the wrath of God is coming for you, that judgment is coming for you, that your sin, 1 or 10 or 20, is going to separate you from a holy God. And Satan is so clever. Let's talk about the roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's so clever. He designs everything to deceive you. He's got movies to titillate your flesh. He's got politics to titillate your flesh. He's got the corrupt church systems to titillate your spiritual flesh. He's got sports to titillate your flesh. Satan has joined the culture. It is his culture. We'll talk about the two kingdoms. Satan has developed this culture that you're living in, which is Satan's kingdom. But you have to rebel against Satan, repent, and enter the kingdom of God. And if you're willing to enter the kingdom of God, it takes your entire life. You can't just believe on Sunday morning. Jesus calls that lip service Christianity. You can't do false traditions like Christmas and Easter and Good Friday that are a lie. Jesus said he'll be in the grave 3 days and three nights. Try to get 3 days and three nights from Friday night to Sunday morning. Jesus a liar? No. He didn't die on Friday. He didn't rise on Sunday. Jesus died on Wednesday night, the day before the high Sabbath. John 19 tells us that. And he rose on Saturday evening because he's our Sabbath rest. The priests and the pastors are lying to you with your pagan holidays handed down by the Roman Catholics. But we don't want our neighbors to be deceived. But guess what? On Judgment Day, you'll have no cloak for your sin. God's messenger has told you the truth today. That you better open your Bibles and start studying and reading and quit listening to the culture, the modern pastor, the priest, the colleges. You better quit listening to all that. And you better seek him in righteousness. Otherwise, you're going to lose your soul on Judgment Day. So why would the street preacher come to tell you the truth? Well, it's because of the two great commands. We love God and we love our neighbor. And if I don't warn you that you're on the road to hell and judgment, but that Christ made a narrow way for you, that you can repent and come out of this foolishness called baseball, you can come out of the wicked, corrupt culture, carnality and sin and idleness. Oh, there'll be modern pastors here, and there'll be priests here, there'll be deacons and elders here, because they live like the world, but they're not true men of God. They're hirelings. They're false teachers. Because a true man of God would warn you about the world. Noah warned the people of his day about the world and the coming judgment. Yeah. And I'm here to warn you about the coming judgment. And that Jesus is going to come in flaming fire and separate you from him in weeping and gnashing of teeth. And you can enjoy all the lager frivolity or the Brewers or the Packers, more idolatrous ways. But I have a question. How do those sports teams further the kingdom of God? How does your involvement in the world make you holy? How does living, acting, talking, dressing, entertaining, doing politics and church like the world make you a vessel of God? The answer is it doesn't make you anything, any of those. It makes you worldly, carnal, and sinful. But neighbor, we love you. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, without holiness you won't see God. How are you holy today? Set apart for God. Set apart to go watch carnal entertainment? Is that how you're set apart? Jesus did like five things. So did Paul and Peter. He slept and ate. That's the function God ordained for us. He fellowshipped, studied, and preached the gospel. And then he went into the Father's creation to restore himself. He didn't entertain in the pagan Roman culture. Jesus wasn't about titillating his flesh with entertainment and sports. Jesus would rebuke this as an idle waste of time. Because see, God gives you breath and life and gravity and earth. And how do Americans and the world spend it? On their own flesh, on Satan's kingdom. Is that wicked or what? Jesus redeems you, gives you the opportunity to be redeemed from Satan's kingdom. And you trample his blood by partaking in Satan's kingdom, the culture. That is the epitome of wickedness. That you might as well spit in God's face. You might as well just spit in God's face and say, you know what? I don't care about Jesus. I don't care about his death. I don't care about his nail-pierced hands. I don't care about the shed blood. I don't care about his back beat and ripped open so bad that his vitals could be seen through his rib cage. That he suffered and he died and he was mocked and scorned. Why don't you just tell God, I don't care? Tell him you don't care and live a worldly life and at least be honest. Don't give him lip service. Because guess what? Hypocritical Christianity is going to be in the hottest place in hell. Because God hates hypocrisy. And if you say you believe in Jesus while you follow the world, you are a hypocrite. Go read Matthew 23 and see what Jesus thought of religious hypocrites. He called the Pharisees out for their sin about 8 times. Hypocrite, hypocrite, hypocrite. That's the American church system. That's the American so-called Christian. That's churchianity mingled with the culture, living sinful and wicked and carnal and worldly, claiming faith in Jesus. You can't claim a faith in Jesus while you live after the world, neighbor. If you died today, why is God going to let you into his kingdom while you seek the ways of the world? You're not seeking the kingdom of God. In Matthew 15, Jesus talked about lip service Christianity. We see it all over the place. In Mark 7, Jesus warned about the man-made traditions, especially the religious ones, that he said makes your worship of God in vain. So we don't want our neighbor to worship God in vain. We want our neighbor to open the Holy Scriptures. That's why we go and preach. That's why we hold gospel signs. That's why we say hard things. Jesus said hard things. Why? He said hard things to call people to repentance, to seek and save the lost. He didn't pat you on the shoulder and say, oh, you could just keep sinning. No, Jesus said, stop sinning lest something worse happens to you. Jesus said, go and sin no more. See, don't confuse the love, the grace, the mercy of Jesus Christ, that he is that. Don't confuse that with the American church system that tells you that you can live in your sin and worldliness and you're going to be forgiven by a holy God. That's an absolute lie. Jesus said, repent. Paul says in Romans 12, do not be conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How has your mind been renewed if you're following the ways of the world? Jesus didn't take a vacation from the things of the Father. Neither did Paul, Peter, John the Baptist. They were all about the kingdom of God until they died. They were mercilessly killed, most of them, for the truth of God. But American churchianity is so cushy, the pastors, the hirelings, can hardly get them to sit still for 45 minutes in a pew. And then they got to give them all kinds of programs and coffee bars and books and kids' bounce houses and all of these foolish things that the New Testament body is not made of. The New Testament body is made of spirit and truth and holiness and righteousness. You won't find that in the church systems. Name one and I'll tell you why they're sinful. because they're all made of man. Name one, they're all made of man.
Well, then what's the answer?
But Jesus said there's a narrow path and you can find eternal life, but you have to be willing to lose this life. You have to be willing to become a laughing stock, a gazing stock. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says,
you'll know it as the cross. It's actually the stake.
Jesus died on a tree because he's cursed for us. Galatians 3 tells us that, and the book of Deuteronomy tells us that. The Roman Catholic cross is an invention of Roman Catholicism. The Bible says cross, but the word is stake, a tree. He died on that. Why? Because he can remove your sin and your punishment that you are due for one sin or 1,000 sins. But you don't get it automatically. You don't get it through church attendance. You don't get it through water baptism. You don't get it through all the ways that these corrupt church systems tell you. You get it by the biblical gospel, believing in faith to follow Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, the perfect one that made the narrow way, and repentance to him. Change your mind, change your ways. Come out of the world, come out of the flesh, come out of the culture, come out of churchianity. And when God sees a willing vessel, Acts 5 says, God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. You're not obeying God as you live like the world. God will give you the Holy Spirit, and you can be born from above. John 3:3. But guess what the fruit is that you're born from above? 80% of Americans claim they're born again, yet they live like the carnal world. In their entertainment, their pride, their dress, their vanity, that God hates and says it's an abomination to him. Did you know if you live in pride, you're an abomination to God like the Sodomites? Did you know that? If you live in pride, you're an abomination to God. Proverbs 6:17 tells us that. So the fruit that you're born again is holiness and obedience. Come out of the world. This is the world that you're walking into. And endure in that saving faith to the end. You don't have salvation locked up today. You have the hope of it if you're born of Christ. Once saved, always saved is a lie. Let's talk about the lies.